champions are here. Big Blue, the New York Giants are Super Bowl 46 champions, and it says it all.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
We love it. Big Blue goes into Super Bowl 46 and pulls out a 21-17 victory, again beating the New England Patriots on a last-ditch effort. The Giants were seemingly done at this game. At one point, the Patriots could have put their foot on the Giants' throats, and they did not. Big Blue comes back in regular Big Blue fashion. Eric.
And Reg, now the G-Men are four-time Super Bowl champions.
The only team to win in every decade.
They beat the immortal Tom Brady twice.
Yes.
They beat the genius Bill Belichick twice.
Yes.
And this team is going to go down in history as one of the most improbable teams to win the Super Bowl. Going back to when they were 7-7, coming off the loss to Washington, having to play 6 one-and-done games in a row, this team passed with flying colors. And it was Reg, it was the definition of a team effort. Everybody stepped up. Everybody contributed. The MVP could have went multiple ways.
Yes.
But this team and this quarterback has proved once and for all who they are. And they are who we thought they were. That's who they are. And Eli Manning, who is now being talked about in Canton.
Yes.
And you know, there's Hall of Fame conversations, which we'll get into more of that later. But the Giants and Eli Manning go into Indianapolis, the home that Peyton built, took on their arch nemesis, the New England Patriots, and beat them 21-17, like you said, Reg. And there was nothing better than waking up the next morning and knowing that your team is world champions.
Oh, what a great feeling. And, Eric, you talked about what this team had to do. So many. Basically, the playoffs started Christmas Eve for the Giants.
That's it.
You know, there's a lot of great championship teams. I mean, you have the Cowboys team, the 49ers teams, the Scray Steelers team. But I cannot think in recent memory a team that is more battle-tested than these Giants. How do you, from Christmas Eve, you can't lose another game.
That's right.
They run the table.
They
had to face, and I think what makes it more special, sometimes it doesn't work out where the champions get defeated by the next champions. But the New York Giants had to go to Lambeau Field, 15-1, world champions, and go right through them. I think after that game, Big Blue was drinking the Kool-Aid. They said, we just beat the best team in the world. Now we are the best. And that's what Big Blue did. And today they are champions.
And they beat the best team in the world
twice,
I think, in this playoff run. And now you can complete the comparison to 07. You can do it all you want now.
Yes.
Because the run is complete.
And so many things in this game were eerily similar.
Eerily similar. I mean, Tom Brady, can the guy catch a break? I mean, he had balls dropped everywhere.
We'll talk about that a little later. I'm not letting Mr. Brady off the hook completely. I think he hasn't gotten enough of the blame here.
Ah, you're crazy. But as for the Giants, I mean, and Reg, I know we take an unorthodox route on the show every once in a while.
Yes.
But this is what I want to start off with the game.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let's do the whole setup to the game.
Okay? Oh, well, you have to.
I mean, you're sitting there. First of all, I couldn't sleep all day.
Yeah.
Normally, I work overnights. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my schedule. I come home. I sleep in the day. I couldn't sleep.
No.
I got home in the
morning.
You
were literally waiting all day for Sunday night.
I got home in the morning. I went to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said an extra prayer for Eli and the Giants. I came home, and usually I'll go to sleep until the game starts or whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I was too amped up.
Yeah.
I was jacked up for this game. You know, I was
going. Watching the coverage.
Me personally, I was going back and forth on what my dinner should be, whether it should be a nice lasagna, you know, or get some cold cuts, you know, because I couldn't go to anyone's house.
I invited you to the party we had.
No, I had to go to work.
Yes.
I had to leave the game in the fourth quarter.
And that was your last day on probation.
Yeah. And so I had to go to work, so I didn't want to go to someone's house that was further away and miss more of the
game. Yeah, exactly.
So I decided to just stay home, me and my fiance. It was a nice time. And, you know, we're getting the, you know, preparing the sandwiches and stuff like that. And then 6 o'clock hits, you know, you're all pre-gamed out by then.
Yeah, you are.
You know, I mean,
I couldn't see Victor Cruz dance, and not one more time.
The 5-hour pregame felt like it was a 30.
Oh, they had Nick Cannon and Danny DeVito. Right. Boy, they threw people out the woodworks here.
Yeah, I mean, it was an event. Mm-hmm. It was an event, you know. It was an election.
An election?
It was an event. I took a song. That's from a song, Rich. But
oh, man.
It's from Biggie and Tupac running.
Oh.
But, you know, I'm straying here.
Yes.
So 6 o'clock comes. The food's on the table, ready to go. And Miss Faith Hill comes out. And Reg, what do you think?
All in white. Oh, she looked like a football princess.
And what'd you think of the waiting all day for Sunday night performance?
I loved it. It was such a great precursor. You see, I think I speak for Eric as well as myself. We think that NBC has the best football coverage around.
Yes.
From the song to the breakdown of the game. And NBC, they add an element of class to the game. And even their color scheme. NBC, I think, is the brightest network.
Yeah,
it pops out the screen.
It really does. It's so defined.
So a Super Bowl on NBC is what we've been waiting for, and our team is there.
Yeah.
So it starts off tremendously. Faith Hill, it really, like, the Super Bowl is here.
Right, right.
So then NBC kind of drops the ball.
Yeah, I was really disappointed on this.
They were in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And you know how NBC does the plays, like Eli Manning, Ole Miss. They usually do that after the first huddle. After they wait, first play, first huddle up. And then they go. They did it while they were in the tunnel. They did the offense and the defense.
Which was a big mistake, because what they should have did in that time is played a video package.
Yes.
Of just like, you know.
Like Fox did.
Like Fox did, right? I'm not sure if CBS did it. I'm pretty sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
But play a video package to lead into the entry song to get on the field.
Yeah.
And then do the lineups like you normally do.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was very disappointed in that.
Yep, they just did it. They just set the names, and then the NFC champion, New York Giants, and they came out to the field.
Yeah, so a little lackluster. And then the song, I mean, it was great.
Written in the Stars was the song.
Written in the Stars is the song. It was great.
I liked it.
But I felt like it could have been something a little more to get the juices flowing.
You know what? That's a very majestic song. WrestleMania used it.
Oh, of
when
course.
I heard when I heard the first
the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Year, yeah.
So I had no problem with Written in the Stars. Was that as climactic as the Fox one? No, but still.
And that's what I was a little upset about coming in.
But then you have the Patriots, and they come out to Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne, which was what they came out to 4 years ago against the Giants. So I'm thinking, is this team crazy? Do they not think about jinxes? Change it up.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the song, but you got to change it up.
You have to. If they go next year, I don't think they're using Crazy Train.
No.
I don't think so. But then the game starts. We're underway.
Bill Belichick and the Patriots win the coin toss.
Yes. Zach Diassi, I was mad. He called tails and lost.
Yeah, I always said call heads.
Yep.
But so they choose to defer, which I knew you weren't too
thrilled
about.
Yes, I was very worried. I said, you know what? This is going to mess up the game plan.
You wanted the Pats getting the ball first.
Yes.
And then, you know, the Giants get a couple first downs and then punt the ball away.
Yeah. At first I said, wow, this is a good-looking drive. But then the defense gets stout. And
where is the ball punted to?
The corner.
I mean, Steve Weatherford set the tone in that game.
He was unbelievable.
Everyone likes to blame Tom Brady for the safety and give the Giants defense credit for the safety, of course. On both ways, you're right.
He was 6 yard line.
But Steve Weatherford set up that safety. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. He was just, I mean.
He really was.
Mike Westhoff must have been eating a big thing of crow because. And the guy was unbelievable.
And he was screaming after punts. But you know what? For the safety, you're giving Brady the hook. I think you're a Brady guy. Look at this.
I am a Brady guy.
But do you go into shotgun when you're in your end zone so early?
What are you, father?
I mean.
My father doesn't want them to throw a pass when you're in your own
side. I mean, against the Giants defense. So then, all right, Brady drops back. Justin Tuck is coming with thinking sack. He gets a ball off, and he throws it 60 yards downfield. And what I first think is, oh, man, there was a mess up in coverage.
Right.
Brady sees someone, and all it was the referee.
Right.
And then the Giants, there's a little bit of murmurs, and then finally the flag comes out, and it is a safety. Giants, Eric does the safety signal, 2 points, and Big Blue gets the ball back.
And
I'm thinking, what a great way to start the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
They set a tone. At that point, did I think it wouldn't be till the third quarter till they touch Mr. Brady again? No. But they got the ball back. They proceed to go down the field like no one's business. Victor Cruz, a touchdown, does the salsa dance. And
NBC drops the ball again.
Yes, again. Now, I'm a big Victor Cruz fan. Hell, I'm half Puerto Rican. I love salsa dancing.
Oh, yeah.
But they talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah.
for 2 weeks, the whole pregame, about Cruz and his dancing. When he finally scores the touchdown in the Super Bowl and he gets a dance, they cut him after 5 seconds.
Yeah, not even 5 seconds.
I blinked and they were showing Eli. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were thinking. They should have piped in some music like they did against Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Eli fitted into a tight spot.
Yeah, he bobbled a little.
Bobbled a little. And if the defender turned around on that play, maybe it's knocked down, maybe it's picked, who knows. But he didn't. Eli squeezes it in. Touchdown after the bobble. Giants up 9-0. And Reg, I'm feeling great at this point.
At this point, do you think it's going to be a blowout?
I'm starting to think, could this team blow out the Patriots?
Yep.
That's what I start thinking.
And then they did not score another point. To late in the third quarter.
And in between, and this is why I don't think Brady should get any flack at all. Tom Brady, I mean, I'm going to compare him to Floyd Mayweather here.
A surgeon,
an absolute surgeon. I mean, it was like watching Bob Ross do a painting. That's how unbelievable it was. The guy hit 16 passes in a row. Hit him. Osho Singo got in the mix for a catch. Welker. Hernandez even hit Gronk, the injured Gronkowski, for 20 yards. I mean, a 96-yard drive, I believe it was.
But if you look, that was right before halftime. From the time when the Giants went up 9-0 that was in the first quarter, to almost the end of the third quarter, it was like 4 years ago, back and forth. And it was more to the tune, the Giants would get to about midfield, they look crisp, and then they would have to punt.
Right.
Then the Patriots would get the ball, and then they would have to punt. The Giants, again, moving the ball, have to punt. And then going into late in the second quarter, Tom Brady, as you said, makes that drive, and they go up 10-0. As a Giant fan, you're thinking, 10-9, you're thinking, oh, man, this is the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah, because you severely outplayed them
in
that first half, and you're down
by
1 point.
You're thinking the Giants just played their best football. And now they're going to play their worst.
Right, close to it, right. Yep. And then, you know, you shake that off a little bit, halftime, Madonna. What'd you think of Madonna?
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good,
CeeLo too. CeeLo Green dressing like a fat March of the Wooden Soldiers was entertaining. Someone called him, I think on ESPN, no, Chelsea Lately, a raisinette.
I mean, Nicki Minaj did a thing.
Yeah, MIA flipped off the country. And, you know, that's what it was. And it was a good performance. But let me tell you, when your team's in the Super Bowl and you're so nervous.
You can't even think of
that.
That
the
stuff.
Commercials, you do not find them the least bit amusing.
Yeah, and that takes away from the experience a little.
Yeah, it does.
But it's worth it.
It is worth it.
So, you know, you get past all the glitz and the glam of halftime. Mm-hmm. And you're back into football mode. And you start thinking, all right, this isn't so bad if we could stop them on this first drive.
Yeah.
And what does Tom Brady do? He comes out. He continues the role he was on to end the first half. And before you could blink, really, the guy puts his team in the end zone, and they're up all of a sudden 17-9.
And
the Giants are down 8 points, and you're in a world of panic at this point.
If you would have told me, and it was the truth, the Patriots, that is the last points they will score, I would have said, yeah, you're crazy.
Right.
And the Giants' defense – they were able, I don't know what they did specifically, they were just able to just wait this team out. They were able to get the good man coverage when they had to. They were able, Linval Joseph played a big role. How many times did he flush Brady out the pocket?
Yeah.
He wasn't quick enough to get him, but a lot of times he had Brady on the run.
And the turning point, you said you don't know what happened to change it. I think I know what happened.
What do you think?
The Justin Tuck sack, the first one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brady landed very awkwardly on that bad
shoulder
of his.
He actually got kneed by Tuck.
And
the
you
shoulder.
Could just tell he wasn't Brady after that. No. His mobility was a little off. Mm-hmm. His comfortability. I don't know if the sack actually got in his head because now he's thinking, oh boy, that's starting to put pressure again. I don't know if that had anything to do with it too. And then all of a sudden he starts doing un-Brady-like things. No. You know, he escapes the Linval Joseph rush, throws the ball downfield to a one-on-one matchup with Gronk and Blackburn, and when it's in the air, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yep.
This is going to be bad. And Chase Black, the ball's underthrown. Blackburn gets like he's boxing out for a rebound.
Yeah, it's almost like he threw to Chase Blackburn.
Perfect position. Blackburn goes up, picks it off.
Yep.
Huge, huge momentum and game changer. And the Giants, they come back 2 field goals.
Yep.
Tynes was sneaking them in, boy.
Yeah, one hit the upright. I'm like, I hope this doesn't get down to. And one thing about Blackburn, he said that play was a mistake play. He says, I thought that we sacked Brady, and then I start going forward, I hear the crowd cheering,
yeah.
And I see Gronkowski out the corner of my eye, and I said, let me just follow him.
Yeah.
And he goes, we went up, and he said, I blocked him out and got the pick.
It was great. And the Giants add on 6 points, and so they're down two.
Yes.
And this sets up the most controversial, most talked about play of the game before the final drive.
Yes.
And that is the pass to Wes Welker.
Yes.
And me and you have very different opinions on this, Reg.
Yes.
I put this all 100% on Welker. Mm. You are a professional wide receiver. I don't care if the ball's to the left. I don't care if it's to the right. I don't care if you got to jump. When the football hits the palm of your hands and you're in the NFL, you in the Super Bowl, and you could put the game away, you have to make that catch. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The ball hits the palm of your hands, you have to walk away with that football. You have to. And Wes Welker failed to do that. And, you know, I'm going to quote the great Gisele Bündchen here. My husband could throw the ball. He can't catch it. Okay? And that's basically what happened to Tom Brady mostly in that second half. Balls are being dropped. You know, big plays are being missed, all because his receivers couldn't hold on to the ball. He got a little dose of what Aaron Rodgers was feeling 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks before that, which, by the way, I think the guy did a phenomenal job in the pregame.
Yes, he really did. Aaron Very Rodgers. Gracious.
And but I do not pin this on Tom Brady whatsoever.
All right. Thank you, counselor.
No problem. I rest
now.
The defend rest.
Now the prosecution's coming. All right, you have your 5'9" slot receiver,
right?
Who rarely goes deep or have to. They have trained. Wes Welker is almost like one of those show dogs. He's been trained and groomed to perfection.
Did you just call Wes Welker a dog?
A show dog. You know, it's in a Eli called his receivers dogs on Letterman, so I can I can get away with that.
So you can say yes. Okay.
And you have Wes Welker running these patterns, and it's to perfection. Brady threw high and to the left, where Wes Welker, for the ball to hit him on the palms,
back
had to jump
left.
Into the air. I mean, come on. And this wasn't just a literal patsy jump. This was a full jump. If Wes Welker doesn't jump, this ball is over his head.
Reg.
If he doesn't, Kenny Phillips might intercept that ball if Wes Welker doesn't jump.
I think he was scared of the hit, number one.
Phillips was going to ream him.
He was scared of the hit, number one. Number two, you throw that same ball to Wes Welker 100 times. How many times is he going to catch it?
It was high. It wasn't a good throw.
Come on, Reg.
It was not a good throw.
99 out of 100.
It's like Jackie Smith and the Cowboys.
I believe Chris Collinsworth's line was Wes Welker will catch that ball 100 out of 100 times.
It was not a good throw. And I remember, was Brady under pressure? I don't think there was too much pressure.
Was it a perfect throw? Absolutely not. But this is the Super Bowl.
That's
you got to make that catch.
Brady has to put it between the
eight and the three. What kind of receiver are you that you can only catch balls that are at the numbers? Come on. Come
Brady,
on.
Was he even under a lot of pressure that he threw it
right.
high?
It doesn't matter. Your quarterback's not going to make perfect throws all the time.
All right, then receivers aren't going to make perfect catches.
How many times have you seen Nixon Cruz save Eli Manning from a horrific throw?
All right, then you say the.
But how many times?
I'm going to prove you wrong here. You say the palm in the. Remember that Seahawks catch that Victor Cruz made? That ball hit him in the palm of the hands. It was going six ways off the Sunday. He was supposed to catch that?
Yes. No, but still.
You see, things happen, and that was a bad throw. That was high.
It was high. Yeah,
it
was high, of course, but you got to catch the ball. Oh, I'm sorry. The ball was an inch to my left, an inch to my right,
Wes Welker
high,
pretty
slow.
Much saved that from being an interception.
Come on. I mean, that's like saying, would you have killed Tyree if he didn't make that catch?
No.
Right, exactly.
But this catch, that's that whole thing, that was a miracle. And they said it, and we'll talk about it later, the Manningham pass that really set up the Giants' game-winning drive. One was a great football play. One was a miracle. That was a miracle.
Listen, I would have killed Tyree for making that catch, not making that catch.
Really?
Yes. Because if you get your hands on the ball and you're a receiver.
Got his head on the ball. He had one hand, and he slapped it on his helmet.
Okay, now take that. Right? Mm-hmm. And compare it to which ball was easier to catch?
With that one or?
Or the Welker play.
Probably the Welker. But listen.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. Harrison was on his back.
Okay, who's a better receiver?
Welker.
Okay, so you're proving
Harrison,
my point.
Rodney Harrison was
I'd like
on
to
his
thank
back.
The prosecution here for helping me out. So Welker had nobody on his back. The ball was placed better than the David Tyree, and he's a better receiver than David Tyree. So you put all those things together, Welker and Tyree made the catch, and Welker didn't. What does that say?
All right. Now let me tell you where you're wrong. That pass by Eli Manning was a better pass. It was a better pass.
Are you out of your mind? He just threw it up for grabs.
It was better pass. It was crisp to a taller receiver.
Crisp.
That was a spiral.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a spiral downfield after almost getting
sacked.
You
just hate Tom Brady so much.
I don't hate. I like Tom Brady, but like I said.
You don't like Tom Brady. You've always been a Peyton guy. You've never appreciated Tom Brady. You never gave Tom Brady his due. I have it records. Let the record show on this show. We've had many debates about Tom and Peyton.
Yes.
You never give Tom his due.
Yes.
That was not Tom's fault. The guy completed 16 passes in a row like a field general. Made his team score twice in the blink of an eye and put the ball in the hands of his best receiver, and he couldn't hold
it. All right, then why aren't you killing Aaron Hernandez and Deion Branch?
I'm killing Aaron Hernandez and Branch, too.
Because I'm not hearing anybody else
doing
that.
I'm killing them, too.
Those drops were just as big.
I'm killing them, too, of course.
Those were put on the numbers. Those were good passes.
Absolutely. Well, the one to Branch was a little behind them, but he still should have.
Kenny Phillips tipped that ball.
He still should have caught it. They all should have been catchable passes. Yeah. All of them.
So
that's
why I'm not
blaming Brady.
I'm blaming Brady for that one.
But the bottom line in this game was Eli Manning.
Yes.
Because once again, and again, I'm going to say this again with Brady to lead into my Eli point here.
Yes.
Tom Brady, for the second time in 4 years, left the field with under 4 minutes to play, and his team was in position to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If your defense gets paid too, which is the argument I use in the should both teams get the ball in overtime? No, because the defensive players get paid too.
All right.
So if the other team gets the ball, it's your job to stop them. Tom Brady left the field with under 4 minutes to go 2 times in 4 years to win the Super Bowl, and his defense let him down both times. And, of course, why did they let him down? I won't say much to their fault because of Eli Elite Manning. That's why. Because this guy went in there and he said, Tom Brady, you're a surgeon? Guess what? I had operation as a kid. I got the steady hand. I could pick out the funny bone.
If Tom Brady's a surgeon, Eli's a surgeon general.
He's the surgeon general. He is with Dr. Carter, could never be in ER. He was the man.
He was
the man. And to watch him again, just like he did in 07, eerily similar, as we said many times on the show, was unbelievable.
And we have to set it up. So, all right, Giants get the ball back. All right. Eli gets it, and you're thinking maybe they go a little safer. No, Eli Manning drops back and proceeds to throw a 32-yard bullet.
First play
to Mario Manningham. Catches it, gets both feet on the ground,
first down.
And Belichick, I was worried. Belichick challenges, clear replay shows. Both feet, possession, first down, and that sets the tone. He hits Knicks. Then he proceeds to even hit, I believe, Bear Pasco even on that drive. Then he goes back to Ahmad Bradshaw. You know they didn't have a 1/3 down that whole drive?
Yeah, which was completely different from 07.
Yes.
Because 07, that drive was on the ropes a couple of times.
It really was. It came down to Brandon Jacobs doesn't make it on 4th-and-1, they lose.
Exactly.
And he just goes, and then this sets up probably the most anticlimactic score ever. The Giants had an issue with timeouts, but now it was the Patriots. Patriots had one timeout left. The Giants, it was 2nd down. It was 2nd and goal. And it's about 1:05 on the clock, and the Giants are thinking, should we run a play? Should we take a knee and have them waste their last timeout? Take another play on 3rd down.
But that was preceded by Hakeem Nicks catching a pass for a 1st down and then going out of bounds.
Oh, yes, that was. And that's really what set it up, because if he would stay in bounds, then I think you kind of force.
And here's the head scratcher. If you're going to let them score, why not let him score on the 1st down play?
Yeah.
I don't understand. They run the ball with Bradshaw, they tackle him. And then they let him score. I mean, that took off what? I think they wasted a timeout
They did.
So, could you imagine if Brady had one more timeout during that drive?
Exactly.
I mean, we could be sitting here right now fuming.
Exactly.
So, that was a terrible call by Belichick, I think, to let him run the 1st down play. And not let him score there.
Yep.
But then Bradshaw gets the ball, like you were saying. Go ahead.
And you know, they don't, you don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to let them score? And they ease up, and Eli says that he's yelling, "Don't score, don't score." And Bradshaw looks like he finally figures out what's going on.
He finally figures out what Eli's screaming at.
Yes, and then he tries to take a knee, but his momentum pulls him butt first into the end zone.
Right, the most unphotogenic game-winning Super Bowl touchdown of all time.
And Eli said it best on Letterman. He goes, "I wonder if Amat was thinking, why aren't these guys trying to tackle me and make me fumble? They're just standing there."
Unbelievable.
And then you start to think, what should have happened? And we're going to open this debate right now. Should they have scored, yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, you take the points. Because I've seen Tony Romo mishandle a snap. I've seen Greg Rugemer mess up a long snap.
Yes.
I've seen too many botched snaps.
Look at the NFC Championship.
Right.
Game. That ball was
rolled. If Weatherford doesn't make a great hold on that, they miss that field goal.
Yeah.
Take the points. You never know what could happen.
Yep.
You never know, especially if you run another play and someone fumbles.
Yeah.
Or you, God forbid, Kevin Gilbride calls another pass play and it's a pick six. You know, take the points. Run the ball. Get in there. Score the touchdown, and that's it.
I'm with you. Now, I can see why it's appealing. We were looking at the time. If times would have hit that field goal, it would have took the clock down to 18 seconds. Brady would have had 18 seconds to go. And, I mean, that's what some people are like, kick the chip shot. 18 seconds. But, I mean, like you said, a bad snap.
Yeah,
I mean, anything can happen. We've seen Billy Cundy. And then someone brought up, what if they don't see the time and they get a delay of game? That turns it to a 32-yard field goal. And that's where Cundy missed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And we all seen Eli. That's when Eli's errors of his way is he can't follow, he can't find the play clock at all.
No, and
the life of him.
So,
and they burned two big timeouts on that drive.
Yeah,
with the drive before, well, that drive. Yeah, calling timeouts because the play clock, there were gonna be delayed games.
That was the worst.
I wanted to scream.
I was watching Donovan McNabb there in 05. It was unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it.
But the Giants were great when it was the Patriots' turn. Eli said, "I said, let's slow this game down." And you can see the frustration on Belichick's face as he had to call those timeouts.
And Belichick says, going into that final drive, this is a Knicks and Cruz game still.
Yes.
Make Mario Manningham beat us.
Yes.
And he did.
Yeah, he did.
He did. He made him pay.
So I wonder if he's happy with his decision.
So that sets up a two-point conversion. And guess who played the Giants on a two-point conversion?
Let me guess. The draw to DJ Ware?
Very good. And it gets stuffed.
Yeah.
And it's a four-point game. And this sets up the final drive for the Pats.
Yep.
And again, a victim of drops is Tom Brady.
Yes. You love playing that Brady victim card.
Listen, he was. Pray for Tom Brady, you know, pray for his good well-being, well wishes, all that good stuff, as Giselle said in the email.
Yes.
But Hernandez drops a ball.
Yes.
Branch drops a ball.
Yep.
Somehow, by the heroism and the guts and the great skill of Tom Brady, he gets them to the 40-something yard line.
Yeah, he throws a quick slant over, and Branch catches it, falls on the Giants bench. And then, you know, it's still a long play, but you're like, all right, this is 60 yards. I mean, it was almost impossible. And he gets sacked on second down, too.
Right. Well, he completed a big 4th and 16.
Yeah.
I mean, you thought the game was over at 4th and 16. He completes it.
And you're like, oh.
And then all of a sudden, all right, 4 seconds to go. Hail Mary. Reg, break down the Hail Mary for me.
All right. Hail Mary. You know it's coming. And he gets flushed out the pocket. I believe it was Justin Tuck. And then it's almost like slow motion. You see Tuck's arm coming to bat the ball down. And Brady just gets it up a second before. And it's in the air. It's Aaron Hernandez around a sea of Giants. Gronkowski's to the right. And it bounces off Aaron Hernandez's hands. And it stays up.
I believe Kenny Phillips got a piece of it.
Yes, he got a piece of it too. It stays up. And Gronkowski sees it. Makes a dive. And the refs call incomplete. Game is over. The Giants win.
And the Giants are Super Bowl champions for the fourth time.
Yes.
Second time in 4 years. And Coughlin and Eli, who were getting ready to be run out of town, you know, us.
Yes, by the heavy hitters.
By the heavy hitters, by everyone else in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And they proved us and everyone else wrong, Reg.
Yes.
And now Canton is being talked about in the same breath with those guys.
I love it. And, you know, I was watching the replay on on NFL Network. They have it with sound. And you know with Tom Brady, you know, it was no football. It was no 38 blue. He told Aaron Hernandez, Hail Mary, go to the goalpost, jump up, catch it. That's all he told him.
Wow.
And
it really was one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time.
I mean, think so.
Just the way the whole game was going, the great plays in the game, what it came down to.
Yep.
And just, I mean, I was the happiest person in the world.
I know you.
I was honking my horn. I was at work. I was listening to the great Bob Papa and Carl Banks, honking my horn, banging on my booth window, screaming. Yep. Giants, champions, champions.
Was anyone looking at you?
Of course. They're looking at me like I'm nuts. But the New York Football Giants, Super Bowl champions.
Oh, yes,
and now, until February, the first week of February next year, the Giants will be the Super Bowl champions.
Oh,
and nothing can change that.
And you know what? We have to talk about some of the unsung heroes of this game. You know, Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, I think they played a beautiful game.
Very good
game. Ahmad Bradshaw over 70 yards. You know, Bradshaw had a good game, but Jacobs, I think, should be talked about. Even though he only had 34 yards, there was two runs where he at least ran for 10 yards. That it was first and 10, and boom, he got him another first. He was just running mean. They were both running mean, and they would just look like the Patriots, you can't hold us.
Yep. Yep.
And he would get up, start screaming. He would get up and say something to them, and they just looked like men against boys.
Hakeem Nicks.
Oh, 10 catches, 109. If he would have scored a touchdown, he could have been the MVP.
Absolutely. Justin Tuck, 2 sacks.
Yep. Unbelievable.
And like I said, I thought he changed the whole complexion of that game.
Yep. Even, Bev Pascoe was their third highest receiver.
Really?
33 yards, 8.3 a reception.
For how many catches?
He had 4 catches.
Wow.
Knicks had 10. Manningham had 5 for 73. And Pascoe had 4 for 33. And, I mean, we got to look at Eli Manning's numbers. Eli Manning was 30 for 40, 296 yards, 1 TD, no interceptions. Eli Manning was not even close to an interception.
Do you have a rating
in this game? Rating was 101.
Wow.
Eli, he wasn't even close to an interception. Did you catch one where he was close?
No, not really. Not really.
No.
And, I mean, just an all-around great performance by everybody.
Yes. And look at this. Eli Manning's completion rate, 75%, and Tom Brady, 65%.
I mean, I just think it was a great job to hold Wes Welker under 10 catches and 100 yards.
Yes, he did.
I mean, that doesn't happen.
Welker, 2 for 21.
No, that's not right.
Oh, no, I'm looking at
carries.
Yeah, I'm looking for carries.
I think he had like seven
for 60.
7 for 60. I mean, that's great. That's a great job on Welker. I mean,
they held down the running game. But Jarvis Green Ellis, 10 carries, 44 yards.
I mean, Aaron Ross did a hell of a job in open field tackles.
Oh, my goodness.
He was a beast. Corey Webster was a beast in coverage.
Kenny Phillips was a beast.
Kenny Phillips, Antrell Roll.
Even the Prince came in, and they were going to pick on him. The Prince even held his own.
Yep.
And, you know, they had injuries. Travis Beckham goes down with torn ACL. And then Jake Ballard, late in the game, goes out with torn ACL. He's on the sideline, and he's running, and he tries to make a cut, and he falls down.
Terrible. And now they're going to be gone for next year, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that. When we come back, we are going to have the aftermath of the game, everything that's going along with it, all the talk. We mentioned Eli and Coughlin in Canton.
Yes.
And there's somebody who does not agree with that at all. Is it a little bitterness? I think it's a little bitterness.
I think he bit into a lemon.
Definitely. Also, you know, we talk about the free agents the Giants are going to have coming up going into next year. Maybe look at get a quick sneak peek at their schedule.
Yep.
All of that and much more. On the other side, I'm Eric Celia.
I'm Reggie Wade.
We are back here on the Heavy Hitters. I'm Eric Celia.
And I'm Reggie Wade.
And this is a special Super Bowl winning edition of the Heavy Hitters podcast.
Yes, I love it. Championship edition. You gotta love it.
Gotta love it. You could listen to us on Podomatic.com, iTunes, Tumblr, Facebook. Yes. We're all over.
We're even going to start that Twitter page soon enough. We just want to get the right moment. We want to do it the right way. Maybe on the Facebook page, we went a little early, but we're going to do things right this time
around. That's right. And, Reg, we go to the post game here. And first of all, I think NBC's post game was terrible.
Really?
They,
why?
They cut it off to go into that show.
The Voice? But I mean at that time.
I need a longer post game at NBC.
You wanted them to be in the booth saying a few more things?
Yeah, absolutely.
And at that point, you know, I'm just waiting to flip the SportsCenter.
We go to the most entertaining part of a Giants post game, and that is when Brandon Jacobs is at a mic. And you remember how much I hated this guy.
Yes. During the season. Listen, please. And once he listen called, back to past shows and hear Eric, you challenged him to a fight.
Yes. And once he called Rex Ryan a disrespectful bastard and a big bellied coach
that don't know when to keep his damn mouth shut.
I love Brandon Jacobs. So, Reg, run through the give us a quick soundbite of what Brandon Jacobs said.
He was there with his two kids in his arms and Rachel Nichols from ESPN. I'm a
his
big
kids in his arms.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Rachel Nichols. And she asks, and she says, "What do you think the Giants did?" And he's answering questions. And then she asks him, she says, "What do you think this win means for the Patriots? This Giants win means for the Patriots?" And he says, "They can't wear that crown no more. We decapitated them." And Rachel Nichols looks like Brandon Jacobs is going to cut her head off. She's kind of like going back. "We decapitated them. They can't wear that crown no more." Yes, yes, Brandon, thank you. With his kids in arm.
I love it. I love it. And then they asked him, he was on TMZ. As we all know, he also said that he was asked about the Gisele Bündchen thing.
Yes.
And he said that she needs to stay cute and keep her mouth shut,
mm-hmm.
which is a little disrespectful.
Yeah,
he apologized the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also asked him, "Do you think Gisele and Tom Brady are going to have good makeup sex?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Come on, you know no losers can have good sex." I mean, the guy is just tremendous.
And why would they have makeup sex? Makeup for what? I mean, if anything, her and the fan would have good, that heckle her would have good makeup sex. I mean,
just tremendous.
But the question is, the way Belichick runs that team and a tight ship, I think he's going to make Tom Brady divorce her. Tommy.
He might.
She's talking about our receivers. You know what you got to do. I can see Tom Brady divorcing Gisele Bündchen per Coach Bündchen. Belichick's Bündchen.
Bündchen.
Yes.
Not Czech, Chen. Bündchen.
Yes, but then I said Belichick.
Yeah.
Yes,
you said Bündchen.
I said Bündchen, yeah. So I merged their last names.
Right.
But Gisele Bündchen is going to get divorced by Tom Brady per Coach Belichick's orders.
Definitely. As we talk about Brandon Jacobs.
See, now you got.
As we talk about Brandon Jacobs here, that brings us right into our next topic, and that is looking ahead to next year. Giants free agency, there's four big ones that we'll know about. It's Terrell Thomas, who didn't play down last year,
mm-hmm.
O.C. Umanyora,
mm-hmm.
Mario Manningham, and Brandon Jacobs.
Yep.
And I just told you that list in my order of which I think they should sign them.
Really?
Yes. Reg, what are your feelings on those guys? Who do you think's coming back? Who do you think should be the main priority? Give me your advice here.
Who I think? You know what? There's a possibility everyone... all of those guys could be gone the way that the Giants and Jerry Reese. And I think he's going to be even more bold because he's looked upon as the mix master. Jerry Reese can do no wrong. I mean, hopefully he doesn't start drinking his own Kool-Aid like Gilbride and thinking he's a bigger genius than what he is.
Right.
And we can win with anybody I pick. But if anyone I think needs to get the contract, I think it's O.C. I would even say bye to Mario Manningham because as good as he was, you can take a Hickson coming back next year. You can sign a guy. You can even, hey, you want to take a chance on a Steve Smith. Even, hell, on a Plaxico Burress.
Ramsey's Barden
on their own team. You can. It's easier to get a third wide receiver than it is to get a man with that pass rush speed.
Yeah, he's a game changer. He's a game wrecker.
He is.
O.C.
And with his sack fumbles.
He's been way underpaid for far too long.
Yes.
For some reason, they have had a vendetta against him, not wanting to pay the guy what he deserves.
Yeah.
And I open up your checkbooks to pay the guy because he deserves it.
Especially with all this extra revenue they're going to get from being the world champions.
I mean,
that
is the staple of the Giants.
It
that
is
pass
defense.
Rush is what makes the Giants.
Exactly.
And if you could have an elite pass rush, combined with elite Eli Manning, mm-hmm. combined with an elite receiving corps with Nixon Cruz.
And elite special teams even.
Right.
With Weatherford.
I mean, so you got to bring him back. You got.
I think so.
But Terrell Thomas, I think, is number one.
Really?
Because that secondary was exposed a lot this year.
Yes, it really was.
And I think Terrell Thomas has got to be the number one priority. He is the next Darrell Revis. He is better than Corey Webster.
You think so?
I know so. He is a young and budding star in this league. And to have Webster and Thomas, and then Aaron Ross and Mukamara, I mean, that's a solid.
So Kenny Phillips is getting phased out?
Well, it depends how healthy the safety that they draft who was in the car accident.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
You know, he's supposed to be a big-time player.
Yeah, he is.
So we'll see what happens with Phillips and Roll.
Yep.
But I think that's my order. I would go Thomas, O.C., Manningham, Jacobs. I love him.
Yeah.
I love him right now, but I don't think he's coming back. And I hear that. I don't think they should overpay
him. Now, what about in the linebacker? Do you say Chase Blackburn, thank you for everything. We'll see you later.
No. I'd keep him there in case of injury, mm-hmm. and I keep him there as a special teams captain.
Yeah.
That's number one. Because Jonathan Goff is going to get that position back when he comes back.
Yeah, he is.
So I would just worry about Blackburn. I keep him on, keep him around. Keep mm-hmm. him around. Keep him in game shape. Keep him familiar with the defense. Go ahead.
Now, here's a big question. All right. If they do lose OC, do you finally make the switch and put Mathias Kiwanuka on that line?
Oh, absolutely. I think you do it no matter what.
Oh, you no matter what?
No matter what.
You make the switch. No more linebacker?
No more. I don't like that they mess around with him with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he reminds me of like Jabba, reliever, starter, reliever, starter.
Yeah, that is true.
His bread and butter is in the bullpen. His bread and butter is rushing the passer.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That is true. And it's going to be interesting. And then we talked about Kareem McKenzie, who we both think should be gone.
Right.
I think we feel the same way about the center. The Giants need like a Nick Mangold, a big physical center. And
Kevin
Mawai. Yes, and he got bailed out this Super Bowl for some reason. Maybe it's the genius of Belichick thinking he's smarter than what he is. Did not line up Vince Wilfork over center.
No, it's weird. He was off a little to the left. He was off a little to the right. Confusing stuff.
Because Boss is a smaller center. He's not that tall and he's not that thick. It's almost like he's a fullback size for a center, and we thought Vince Wilfork was going to eat him up all day, and they didn't even line him up with it.
Exactly. You make a great point, Reg. And from the free agent topics, we move on to the parade.
Oh,
and yes. Me and Reggie were at the parade.
Yes.
Insanity. People going crazy. People stepping on you, sitting
people
on
throw
you.
Them. You got a beer thrown on
I
you?
I got something thrown on me. I was about to punch someone in the face.
Unbelievable.
You had people climbing lampposts.
Looking at toilet paper rolls.
We
saw the most unnatural length toilet paper streamer in the world coming out of some building. I think it was going to reach to Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. But so it was so bad we had to leave.
Yeah, we saw the float pass by. We saw the corner of Bradshaw's head. And then we decided, let's leave. We could still get back for the ceremony. And we did.
We did. We got
back
to my
house. So at least we can say we were there.
Watched the ceremony. It was nice. And Reg, I think Michael Strahan did a great job.
Oh, his master of ceremonies is great. And it proves. And this is something that I almost now feel bad for Tiki. That's what Tiki Barber wants, to be like him. To be like
Mike?
No, not to be like Mike. Sorry.
Like Michael Strahan?
To be like Amani Toomer. That is on the payroll. He works on their pregames to be in the fold. Brandon Jacobs, you can still tell he's still a Giant. They even gave him a key to the city because Michael Strahan is as big blue as they get.
That's the key. See, Tiki Barber has done nothing but rip Eli, rip Coughlin, rip the whole organization since he left. Mm-hmm. And Michael Strahan has been one of the best post Giant players I've seen in a long time.
This season when the defense looked lost, he went in there. He basically said, what the hell is wrong with you? And they asked him, did guys take offense? He goes, no. He goes, Tuck and OC, he said, I'm their big brother. They're like my little brother. And they understand if things get too crazy, big brother's going to have to come and talk about what's going on. It almost sounds like the relationship that the Jets and Giants have.
Right.
Big brother, little brother.
Right, I agree. But Strahan did a nice stick there. Strahan did a great job. The city did a great job. Glad we kept it away from Jersey.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
You know, let them have their little thing in the stadium.
Their little rally. Yeah.
But the headlines out of this week, after all the dust has settled, all the smoke is cleared, Giant Super Bowl champions again, fourth time, second time in 4 years.
We love it.
The headline and the dirt coming out was a interview with Kurt Warner. And the question was posed to Kurt Warner, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
And Kurt Warner makes some very good points, I think.
All right.
Talking about his overall QB rating for his career is 82. Mm-hmm. He's thrown 5 of 8 seasons with 16 picks or more. He hasn't been consistent enough to be in the Hall of Fame. And I happen to agree with Kurt Warner.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Kurt Warner said it, And the way he was coming off about it.
It seemed like it had...
It seemed a little bitter to me.
It did. It seemed
and
like it had
And though I agree that Eli Manning, to this point in his career, has been too inconsistent to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Because I think this is going to start a 4 or 5 at least year stretch of great Eli Manning play.
He may throw for 5,000 yards next year.
Right. And I think you could throw one more Super Bowl in the next 5 years. So if you do that, 3 Super Bowls, and he has 8 tremendous seasons out of 12 or 13, then the guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And that's what I think is going to happen.
Yes. And Kurt Warner, we were talking about this last night. I think he's still bitter because when, you know, Kurt Warner had the Cinderella story with the Rams, but then it kind of hit the fan, and they were like, is this the end of Kurt Warner? And then draft day happens. They cut Kerry Collins on draft day. And they draft Eli Manning, and then they call Kurt Warner, we want you to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. Kurt Warner's thinking, this team is 4 years removed from going to the Super Bowl. The kid Eli's going to wait on the bench 3 years. He's going to learn behind me, and I can possibly take this team back to Super Bowl glory, and then I will end my career on the high note, and it didn't happen. He starts 6 games, and he is benched for Eli, and the Eli era begins, and he was always bitter about that. That's why he went to Arizona. He said that he did not want his career to end that way, and hey, he went back to another Super Bowl. They didn't win, but he played tremendously that season. So I really don't understand why he should be so bitter with the team.
He was very bitter, and one of the things that bothers me is he throws out all these stats and talk about why Eli shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, coming from the guy who is not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I mean,
that's what it is.
Why don't you take a look in the mirror, Kurt?
Exactly.
I mean, you could have been, you were a yard away from being 0-3 in the Super Bowl.
Yes, he was also a yard away and inches away if they don't catch that ball. And if Adam Vinatieri doesn't have the golden foot of being 3-0, football, a game of inches.
So, Kurt Warner has no right to talk.
No.
And you know what? Everyone brings up the interceptions, 16-plus interceptions of, you know, 5 seasons of that from Eli. My response to that is 2 words. Brett Favre.
Yes.
I mean, Brett Favre made the interception famous. You know what I'm saying? And the guy's going to Canton. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So, Joe Willie Namath, guy saved the football.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. Had more career interceptions than he did touchdowns.
Yep. And
so, you know, when you're aggressive and you throw the ball a lot, you're going to have interceptions. It happens with Favre, with Namath, with Eli. So I don't put a lot of stock. I look at 2 things. Winning percentage, which Eli has not had since he's taken over for a full year, has not had a losing season with the Giants.
He has not.
He went 1-7 in his rookie year, but again, that was only half a year.
Yes.
Has not had a losing season, has 2 Super Bowl rings, has 4 4,000-yard seasons, almost threw for 5,000.
Yes.
So he's on his way. He's on the right path.
And with the interceptions, you say Brett Favre, I say 2 words, butterfingers. At least 8 that we've counted. We've gone online and we've looked at all his interceptions. 8 were off people's fingers. 8 were,
career?
No, that last season, 25.
For the last season, yeah.
For his career,
it's got to be at least.
And we've seen it, and I've said it. Once those receivers learn how to catch in the NFL, the numbers are going to go down.
Yeah.
And they have.
They have, and those guys have emerged.
Yes.
Just like we thought they would. And the Giants are I believe they're 15-1 odds to win it again next year.
Really? 15-1?
15-1.
The Patriots have the best odds coming out of Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, against these Patriots.
Hey, listen, they deserve it.
But with the Steelers, if they come back healthy, I mean, come on.
I just can't wait till next year.
I know. This AFC Championship, I thought it was, when the season started, I thought it was Pittsburgh's to lose.
So, Reg, this is a great day.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
basking in the Giant glory.
Basking in the Giants glory.
We wear our championship hats.
That's right. We couldn't be happier Giants fans. Oh. I mean, so ecstatic, so great, such an amazing run.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to happen eerily similar, to have such a great run 2 years in the last 4 is amazing. But as great as this day is, it's also bittersweet, Reg, because we are closing the chapter, we are closing the book for the year on football.
We are.
And in a season where we've seen it all, we've seen the dream team Eagles go 8-8 and not make the playoffs.
Yes.
We've seen the Giants rip off 6 one-and-done games in a row to win the Super Bowl. First 9-7 team ever to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
First team ever to win the Super Bowl in 4 different decades.
Unbelievable.
We've seen the Tebow mania.
Tebow mania.
We've seen the Harbaugh brothers do an incredible job.
They even played each other.
And before we close the book once and for all, which might have been the biggest story going into the Super Bowl for football,
mm-hmm.
we have to touch and give our predictions on, I'll call him Eli's brother, not Peyton's brother. I'll call him Eli's brother. And that is one Peyton Manning.
Yes.
And Reg, we said we would get into this today, yes, and we got to touch quickly on it.
Yes.
Peyton Manning, the honeymoon is over in Indianapolis. Let's be real here.
Not with the fans. Not with the fans.
But with Jim Irsay and the Colts and, you know, getting rid of his coach, getting rid of everyone Peyton knew. As Reggie said with Jeter, once he's the last one standing, the cheese stands alone in Indianapolis.
I hear that.
And it's over. I mean, it's coming to an end. He's going to play, mm-hmm. and he's going to play somewhere else.
Yes, and I think that's either Arizona or Miami.
That's what you said. Boy, you know, you leave no room for suspense here.
You just dive right
in there.
That's how I am.
I've heard Washington. I've heard the Jets. I've heard Miami.
It's too cold.
I've heard Arizona.
It's too cold. And you know what? The Patriots.
Joe, not to cut you off, mm-hmm. but Joe Theismann actually says there's no way possible the Redskins should attempt to bring in Peyton Manning.
Really?
Said it would be the biggest mistake ever.
What, for their injuries wise or what?
He doesn't want a quick fix. How many times have they tried a quick fix?
But I mean, the guy's Peyton Manning.
Right. It's not really bringing in Rex Grossman here.
Exactly.
It's Peyton Manning.
But you know what? And you say the love affair is over, maybe with ownership, but the Colts fans will always love.
Oh, of course. And I think it's mutual with Peyton. I think he loves the city.
And the reason why so many, and we looked, the stadium was full of Giant fans. So many more people going for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruco and Lumberg, who I interned for over at ESPN, big shout out to you guys. They were over there, and they said so many people, when asked, why are you going for the Giants? Because he's Peyton's brother.
Yeah.
We got to go
Absolutely.
For the Eli and the Giants.
And I say, Reg, even though this team has very rarely been talked about, I still say San Francisco is the place for him to go.
Yeah,
don't give me Alex Smith. Don't sit there and give me Alex Smith. You just wanted to tell me it's Peyton Manning with Washington. It's Peyton Manning with San Francisco. The guy will get you rings, guaranteed.
I mean, come on. You have a chance to look towards the future. I mean, come on.
What future? It's about winning Super Bowls.
If Lawrence Times misses that kick, if they don't botch special teams, maybe they're in the Super Bowl. They're not that far off as you think.
No, but do you think Peyton could get them to the promised land?
Like I'm going to take Joe Theismann's quote. That would be an attempt at a quick fix if it doesn't work, we'll derail their franchise.
No, because if it doesn't work, you could bring in someone with the same talent as Alex Smith and do the same exact job to hand the ball off 29 times a game and throw 10 and not throw an interception. I could find 25 quarterbacks in the league that will do that.
But that meshes with – you had sometimes, you know, and Tom Coughlin, they said it. He said, you know, competitive toughness is not the most important thing. It's love of your teammates. It's fitting into a system.
Could you?
They are drinking the Alex Smith, Harbaugh, Vernon Davis Kool-Aid in San Francisco. And I think that they will have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Could you imagine handing the ball off 25 times to Frank Gore? He's rushed for 125 yards, and then you complement that with the play action of Peyton Manning, and then
they're not going to run the ball that many times with Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning throwing to Vernon Davis. I mean, who is stopping that? Who? This is a tight end league now, Reg. This is the league of the tight ends now. We've seen it all over.
He can get hurt the first play,
yeah,
and it's all over.
And then you bring
over.
In Alex Smith, and then you're in the same spot you were last year.
I don't think Alex Smith stays with the team.
Why? You give him he's already signed, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not, whatever. You give him $2-3 million, bring in Peyton Manning, and you have Alex Smith back him up.
This whole thing with the 49ers has been about heart. This is our team. We've done it our way.
You're out of your mind.
Don't mess with it. They're getting ready to go on an upswing.
People, please, comment on this debate.
Yes, please.
Let us know what you think. Is Peyton Manning a good fit in San Francisco?
They don't need a quick fix. They're getting ready to do some special
things.
He's got
3 to 4 good years left if he's healthy.
If,
3 to 4, they could have a dynasty while he's there.
A dynasty,
not a quick fix.
That's gonna blow things.
He could bring them to 8 Super Bowls.
All right, he throws the first touchdown to Vernon Davis, and Vernon Davis gets up and stands at the camera. Peyton Manning will slap him in the face, and then that's it.
But don't you want that for Vernon Davis? Don't you want a guy that there to to tame Vernon Davis?
I don't.
He ain't gonna pull that garbage with Peyton.
Nice catch there. Nice catch there.
A little heated.
Yeah, I know, but no, you know what? I don't think he's the Vernon Davis. Yeah, he likes to have a little fun. But that's what that 49ers team is about with Jim Harbaugh. I mean, it's harmless. I mean, come on. But Peyton, I can see him going in there. This is my team but now. We're doing things my way. And, you know, and plus, I don't think he can have a strong-minded coach like a Harbaugh. He needs a Tony Dungy. He needs a Jim Caldwell because Peyton likes to run that team. Peyton likes to run that entire offense.
Let's say Peyton goes to Miami, right?
Yes.
I want you to step back and think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton goes to Miami. Take a look. As I backed away from the mic there.
Yes.
Take a look at the star power in Miami for a second. Take a step back. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Ozzie Guillen, Jose Reyes, Hanley Ramirez, Mike Stanton, Josh Johnson, Peyton Manning, Reggie Bush. I mean, that.
Could you have more?
Brandon Marshall. I mean, Miami is the place to be if Peyton goes there.
Those Kardashians put Miami on the map.
I mean, it's unbelievable, the star power in Miami. It really is.
Miami was just a place to wear a white suit all year around.
All Miami was a top 10 song for Will Smith.
Yes, and that is now our destination for your bachelor party.
Yes, because of you terrible friends of mine. I have awful friends. Usually the worst. I have great listeners.
Yes.
But my friends are just awful.
You
guys ruined the dream. You guys ruined everything. I will never forgive you for any of this. I promise you that. But that's okay.
Yeah. If Miami, you want to come to Miami, more than welcome.
Yeah. The door is open for Miami.
Good thing our friends, I don't think our friends listen to
us. No, they don't even listen. So don't even know what I'm saying.
So we're in the
We got plenty of great listeners, though. We don't need that.
Exactly.
We have listeners all around the world.
All over. Ghana, South America.
That's it.
Canada, thank you so much. Keep on listening to us.
That's right. Even the great Joe Spano.
Yes, our mentor. And Joe Spano. I would love to get Joe Spano on one day.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be awesome. Have our mentor right here.
Have him break down a little Super Bowl.
What?
Have him break down a little Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you said have him right up until the Super Bowl. I was like, what, the whole year? I don't think his schedule will allow him to.
No, he said break down the Super Bowl.
So Spano's been here every week for a year. This has been
That's it. But Reg, I mean, as we wind down the show here and we've talked about a whole plethora of things.
Yes.
There's one more phenomenon that has captured the hearts of New York City.
Yes, it isn't just the Giants.
It isn't just the Giants. And just when things look the darkest, just when things look the worst, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have the great number 17, Jeremy Lin.
The Asian sensation.
The Asian sensation, Lin Sanity, hashtag Linning. Anything you could think of, this guy has brought life into a dead, beaten, washed up, terrible Knicks team.
Who would have thought a guy from Harvard? And usually, when you think, when I think, and I'm just gonna say, when you think of Asian players in the NBA, you think of Yao Ming. You think of someone that's big, 7 feet tall, 6'3" guy
with the Nets, the Bucks.
I mean, 6'3" guy from Harvard,
right?
And he bust up Deron Williams, he bust up John Wall.
And Reg, this guy is a perfect fit for the system of Mike D'Antoni.
He is.
I mean, like I said, you could call this team Lob City East once Amari gets back. With Tyson Chandler getting a lot of alley-oops and mm-hmm. Amari. And what he's done is he's attacked the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is, he's giving it to guys in the paint, down low.
Novak.
He's cut down. Novak has kicked it out to the wing, and Novak for the threes. He has cut out the jump shooting for the most part on this team, mm-hmm. which has been its downfall. The isolation, the one-on-one.
Yep.
It's more the fast break D'Antoni system mm-hmm. that we seen 2 years ago.
Yep.
So he's got the point guard to run it now. Mm-hmm. And as you know, 23 points, 26 points, 28 points, 8 assists, 9 assists, 10 assists.
Yes.
The guy's played lights out, as you mentioned, against some of the best point guards in the league.
Yes.
But this, I mean, if he could if he could keep this up and Amari comes back and Carmelo comes back, and the key is Carmelo has to learn how to play in this offense.
He does.
He is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guy that is going to tilt them one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Either he learns this offense and they do unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Because Amari, this is Amari's bread and butter.
Yep.
you ain't going to see the Amari you've seen for the first 15 games, because this is what Amari does. He works off the pick and roll. Yeah. He works off the alley-oop.
Mm-hmm.
That's Amari. So he's going to have no problem once he comes back. Yep. But Carmelo Anthony is the guy.
Yep.
If he learns this system, they are going to be dominant. If he doesn't, there's going to be some problems.
And it proves that a great point guard, because look who's going, the Clippers
yeah.
are contenders now. As I'm going to use the saying from Little Big League. Remember, it was actually Rookie of the Year. I get my movies mixed up with that had kids in the major leagues. Remember Daniel Stern is the pitching coach and he's trying to teach them how to hit, and he said something. He said, let the big dogs eat. The right. point guard set the table that's and it. The big dogs go to eat.
That's it. That's what you got to do, and that's what Jeremy Lin has been doing, Reg. Yes. And I know he's been dragging you a little bit. You know, times are rough in New Jersey. Brooklyn seems like it's years away.
Brooklyn's next year, baby.
I know, but it seems like a lifetime away. And Jeremy Lin is slowly but surely pulling Reggie towards the Knicks.
How could you not be impressed by Jeremy Lin getting caught? It's Linsanity.
It's Linsanity, and you're caught up in it.
I am.
Jeremy Lin now has one job left, and that is to win over Reggie Wayne. I mean, the guy he's doing everything on the court. He's sleeping on Landry Fields' couch. He's making Landry Fields better. He's making Iman
sleep on Landry yeah. Fields' couch.
He's sleeping on Landry Fields' couch. That's where he's staying right now. Any good real estate agents, contact Jeremy Lin. I believe it's at Jeremy Lin on Twitter. Hook him up in an apartment, whatever you can do.
He can't get a place of his own.
Not
they
yet.
Can't let him sleep in the garden.
Not yet.
Start Landry Fields' couch. I've been the NBA. At least give me a spare room.
Landry Fields' couch. But he makes everyone around him better so far. And yep. we'll see if the Knicks can turn this around. We'll yep. see. Now all the Giants' attention is gone. It's not going to take away from yeah. their sorrows and their troubles. So, yep.
but so it. We're living in a Lin world.
Living in a Lin world, and football is over. We move our focus mostly to basketball. Maybe yes. we'll touch on some hockey. We'll do some wrestling. Pitchers and catchers are 2 weeks away.
Yes. And next week, you know, we were so Giants, and of course we had to be all Giants. But the awards we're giving out in football, I think we need to have a frank discussion on who should have been the MVP and who should not, because it's a lot of people are talking about this.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. I love your game planning.
Yeah, we got to.
You got to set up for next week.
Yeah,
next week, we'll talk more Knicks. We'll do some NFL awards, like we said.
Jeremy Lin still be playing next week?
Jeremy Lin will be, there will be a statue made to him outside the garden by next week. Chance of MVP
a golden
rang out the
idol.
Crowd. Did you know that?
What?
Chance of MVP rang out the garden crowd.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, they did the same thing when Chris Dudley scored 14 points in 99. So, I mean, come on.
So, we got some Knicks, some NFL awards. We got, I actually want to break down next week the Cotto and Mayweather fight.
Oh, yes, it's coming up.
So, we'll get into that. Maybe we'll do a little wrestling, you Maybe. Know. Next Sunday is Elimination Chamber.
Yes, it is, yep.
So, talk about that, going into the road to WrestleMania, what we think is going to happen there. So, we'll try to keep you entertained until baseball season starts.
We're going
to
do our darndest.
And once baseball season starts, ladies and gentlemen, I mean,
that's where I go into hibernation.
That's where you really hear the chemistry between me and Reggie. Because, I mean, we were talking about it on the way here. I mean, Reggie's got a lot to look forward to here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the year Pelfrey figures it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is when Jason Bay goes back to being Jason Bay. You know, R.A. Dickey is just a stellar knuckleball pitcher. That bullpen with John Roush and Francisco lights out. I mean, this team is primed for a big-time run in the National League. And I can't wait. I mean, Subway Series. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
And you know what? I'm surprised. I'm looking at the board right now that they were even able to get any audio from you, because the sarcasm was just clouding anything you had. It was just dripping with sarcasm.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm excited. I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm excited about these Mets. Yeah, you know, Shake Shack season is coming back.
Oh, yes, it is. You know, that's where most of the fans congregate is Shake Shack. I think that's the only thing that's paying the mortgage. As the Mets go to the Supreme Court to try to get money from the Madoff Fund, they said, hey, we were victims like everybody else.
That's so, right. The 300 fans that go to the game, they go to the Shake Shack.
Yeah, the whole game. The whole game, there's a line. It's like batting press, Shake Shack's open.
Yep,
and everybody
it.
Goes. They should just rename the stadium Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Going to Shake Shack
Field.
Mets and
Yankees at Shake Shack.
I love it. I can't wait for baseball. But everybody, congratulations to the New York Giants.
World champion.
Enjoy, Giant fans. Jet fans, be miserable. I'm going to laugh in your face every single day until next year.
Yes.
So, Giant fans, be happy. Bask in the glory. We are Super Bowl champions. You are listening to the Heavy Hitters. We will catch you at the same bat time, same bat channel next week. I'm Eric Seeley. Reg, take us home.
We're the Heavy Hitters. I'm Reggie Wade.
I'm Eric Seeley again.
Yes. And y'all come back now. You hear? Big Blue.
Yep. Yeah.